This is in the matter of Barry Duran, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Please have appearances.
Good afternoon, Timothy McNamara, Assistant Ethics Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Court, Barry J. Buren, per se.
Mr. McNamara, did you get the submission that was dated November 19th by Mr. Buren?
I did, Your Honor.
Please go ahead.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court, Chief Justice Robner and Associate Justices. Over the years, I've been assigned to investigate each of the grievances docketed by the Office of Attorney Ethics concerning respondents' conduct. And over time, it has become evident to the Office of Attorney Ethics that a respondent cannot follow through on his responsibilities. One would expect that after a respondent was disciplined five separate times, that he would appreciate the need to become more attentive, and yet the opposite occurred. For his sixth, his seventh, and his eighth times that he faced disciplinary charges, he defaulted each time. Subsequently, he was disciplined a ninth time, and he's now before the court for a tenth time. In the present case, respondent settled an underinsured motorist case for his client, Kenneth McAdams, in the amount of $49,000. The case settled in March 2015. Mr. McAdams still has not received his money to this day. Respondent never should have agreed to have GEICO place another attorney's name on the settlement check who had absolutely nothing to do with this case and who had nothing to do with Mr. McAdams. And that yet the only reason why that was done was because the respondent had malpractice on a separate unrelated case. He owed money for that malpractice matter, and he had agreed to have his attorney's fee paid out of the settlement involving Mr. McAdams. But again, nothing to do with Mr. McAdams and why his money should be held up. It took nearly 3 years for Mr. Buran to file a motion after the money had been deposited into court to try to get the money released. He didn't even serve the parties correctly, and so the motion was denied. Respondent waited for at least almost just a shy of a year to refile his motion with the same service defects. No surprise, he was not able to get the money released. This matter went to a hearing, and both the hearing panel and the disciplinary review board found that respondent committed gross neglect, lack of diligence, and a failure to communicate with his client. Not only has Mr. McAdams not received his share of the $49,000 to this day, but Mr. McAdams explained that he was going to use that money because he had a bank loan, and he was going to pay off that loan. And because he didn't receive his money, he has accumulated additional interest on that loan. In respondent's late submission to this court, he indicated that the insurance company had inserted, without his prior knowledge and without his prior consent, an additional unrelated third party, meaning Mr. Van Syke, as a payee upon the settlement check. That's what he provides to this court late as his submission, as his explanation about what took place in this case. Now, meanwhile, as noted on page 9 of the Disciplinary Review Board's opinion, at oral argument before the board, respondent admitted that he had asked GEICO to make the check payable to himself, to Mr. McAdams, and to Mr. Van Syke. In his late submission to this court, the respondent claims that there was inappropriate action by the insurance company. These are not the words of an attorney accepting responsibility for their own actions. The Office of Attorney Ethics agrees with the Disciplinary Review Board's recommendation to this court that for respondent's 10th disciplinary case, that he should be disbarred. Thank you.
Mr. Buren.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Justice, Chief Justice Ravner and members of the court. I would initially like to state I agree with everything which Mr. McNamara has stated. However, in page 9 of the decision of the Disciplinary Review Board, it states that GEICO deposited the settlement proceeds with the Superior Court rather than issuing a check. I did never ask anyone to place a check other than on my name and Mr. McAdams' name for that settlement check, and was unaware that it had been done until I received the check. I contacted GEICO about it along with their attorney and asked them to please delineate, at least separate out from that check, whatever my attorney's fee would be and what Mr. McAdams would be. I asked if they would entertain a consent order for that to be done, and they denied that, and then that's when they deposited the check into the court. The reason that the motions were denied, as far as I know, was that there was not proper notice, because I was not able to locate Mr. Van Syke, the other person who was on the check. He'd been out of state, and I did not
know
where
he was. Question for you, sir. Where did GEICO get Mr. Van Syke's name?
I wish I knew. I have no idea.
You had some sort of prior dealings with him?
Yes.
And GEICO just... comes up with his name and puts him on the check?
I believe he must have somehow researched records of attorneys who were in litigation, and that's the only...
Who did that?
Mr. Van Syke, the person whose name became on the check. I really have no idea how it was found out.
Then he just contacted GEICO with having had nothing to do with this case and just...
That's correct.
He's the one who insisted that the check be made out to him, and he just called GEICO and said, I had a prior dealing with this attorney, and I should get part of this check, and they went ahead with that?
Yes. What I believe happened is that he, years before, had notified them of a lien, that he believed that there was a lien on the check, which was to be owed to me. So they, I think, for some, maybe their own security or liability purposes, decided to put his name on that check. And
did
I did not know until I received it in the mail. And that's.
Did he have a lien? And on what?
No, there was no other lien upon a judgment, which I was in the process of resolving with him. But that lien would have gone toward additional
proceeds. He had a judgment against you.
It was against me. That's correct.
He had a personal judgment against
him. Right, right.
And he got a lien based on that judgment?
Yes.
On what?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
He got a lien based on that judgment?
Yes.
And what was that lien applied to?
The lien would be applied to a judgment, the satisfaction of a judgment. So...
How did he know what judgment to attach the lien to?
I'm sorry.
How did he know to go to GEICO? How did he know that you were expecting money from GEICO? How did he know where this lien should be attached?
I believe it was because there was litigation in the matter with GEICO, and somehow he researched that I was an attorney in a case where there would be proceeds. That's the only thing I understand about it. It was really completely a surprise to me that I received that check with his name on it. And then I attempted to get...
You never communicate? You had nothing to do with informing him that this case for your client?
No, I did not. I was really completely surprised that that occurred. I tried to have counsel for GEICO to enter into a consent order, and GEICO several times, and GEICO refused. And that's when I filed my first motion, and I filed another motion after that. There was no oral argument. It was very difficult because it was COVID lockdown, and I tried to reach the law clerk, who said that there was some type of a notice problem, and that I attempted to rectify that problem and could not find him and could not have it notified properly for that to be done. And I was trying to get my client to have the check be just delineated, an attorney's fee from that $49,000 separated out, and I, that didn't work either. So the motions were denied, and then I had my suspension in March of 2020, and I've engaged another, tried a while to get some attorneys to file another motion for me, and now have someone who is working on doing it.
Mr. Bierman, what are you doing now? Are you working?
Right now, I am, I'm working part-time, about 15 hours a week, on some matters with AAA, doing some sales work. I'm also volunteering about 15 hours a week with Jewish Family Services, volunteering for food distribution.
You were involved in five disciplinary matters that you participated in from 2004 to 2018, and then you defaulted in three matters. Can you tell us why?
Yes, I feel really bad about that. I defaulted, but they were arbitration, fee arbitration matters. And I should not have defaulted, but I was going to make good on those fee arbitrations, which I did, but I did not realize that I had to actually participate in those three. And those were the default matters, which I now, in retrospect, should have done more to facilitate that arbitration rather than let it go.
Having participated in earlier matters, what made you think you did not need to participate when you were served with papers again in 2020 and 21?
Well, I always, I believe that unless it was a fee arbitration matter, I did participate in what I needed to do.
The discipline for the first of the three that you defaulted in was for lack of diligence, failure to communicate, failure to cooperate, not fee arbitration. Why did you not participate in that matter and the following two, which involved similar allegations?
I believe I tried to respond as best I could at the time. I don't know all the particulars, but I did participate in, I believe, each of the matters ultimately that I was involved in.
And in this matter, was there a reason for the delay in your responding to the court's order to show cause?
The Supreme Court?
Yeah. I'm not looking to pry. I'm trying to understand if there's an underlying cause that should be brought to our attention. I'm not asking you to reveal things you're uncomfortable revealing.
Right.
But it's difficult to understand the pattern that appears in front of us.
I apologize for my shortcomings on that. I did have two surgeries, eye surgeries, in which I really had some problems post-surgery after both of them, and I was unable to really, that was one factor, one important factor that led to that problem.
And when were those surgeries? What years?
They were, problems I was having in September, and then had a surgery October 4, and then October 27.
This year?
This year.
Do you intend to practice law?
Yes. I believe that I understand my problems. I've had a few years from 2015 to 2017 psychological issues that I've tried to deal with, and I understand problems that I have caused myself, and I very much want to keep my law license and hopefully at some point regain it with things that I will need to do in order to achieve that. And I do feel very badly and very upset over issues which were my doing and which I'm very much trying to understand and to make sure that if I get the opportunity in the future, I will not be repeating those mistakes.
Have you at any point presented any proofs with respect to the health issues that you've told us about?
I have not provided medical records. I would be happy to do that, but I think I may have actually sent in the request for the continuance for today's order to show cause, I did send in three documents in that respect. A few notices of surgeries and medical issues.
What else would you like to tell us?
I'm sorry?
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, only that I really desperately want to keep my law license if possible.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Buren. We'll take the matter under advisement.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, may I just put one more thing on the record? Thank you.
This court started questioning of Mr. Buren by asking him about whether or not he had ever asked GEICO to place Mr. Van Sykes' name on the check. And he quite clearly, I believe, said to Justice Patterson that that was not the case. When he argued this matter before the Disciplinary Review Board a short time ago, this was argued March 17th, 2022, this year, he was asked, question, does the record below that we have to make our determination upon conclude that you admitted you asked GEICO to issue a three-party check to your client, to yourself, and to attorney Clifford Van Sykes? Mr. Brand's response, yes, that's correct. Mr. Medeker, you admit that? Mr. Brand, that I did request that that be done? Mr. Medeker, okay. Mr. Brand, that's correct. That was before they sent it to the court.
This was what?
That was before they sent it into court.
It sent it being the check, is that what that means?
I believe that's what he's referring to.
Thank you, Mr. McNamara.
Thank you.
Mr. Buren, can you come to the center and respond to that, please?
The context of that was that GEICO informed him, I believe, that there was a lien and that they would be, I really apologize, but I did object at the time. I understood that there was going to be a problem with a lien on this check. I stated that there was no need for that.
You just told,
no.
You just said to us, sir, that you have no idea
right.
How it happened.
Right, I think it's...
Just stood there and said to us, you had no idea how it happened.
Yes, I know. But I think what happened was, I really cannot recall exactly how it occurred, other than when it happened, I was surprised that it happened the way that it did. I don't recall discussing it actually with GEICO and saying, okay, it's okay to put it on the check, because it would never have been able to be deposited. So I have to say, I apologize that I don't know exactly, but once I realized that it was going to be on the check, I tried to take as many steps as I could, and I objected to it. I don't really recall telling them it's okay to do that. I apologize if that's what I said. That is in the record, but I do not recall saying, yes, it's okay to do this. And I don't recall having it said beforehand. I had many discussions with the attorney after the check was issued. And the time frame for that is, I would never have asked for that because it would have been impossible to have it deposited. So.
Thank you, Mr. Buren.
Thank you.
We'll take the